Intervju Radija Študent.
V Velovlju Radija Študent začeli bomo danes RŠ intervju z mednarodno zasedbo, z moje leve strane v smeri sata, kako potekajo minute, je Steve Heder na bobnih, Avstralc, Tobias Dilius, saksofonist in klarinetist iz Anglije, celo iz Oxforda, in potem kanadski kontrabasist Joe Williamson. Po zimskem premoru oni bojo odprli defonijin koncertni serijal, Defonijo in njenega dobrega duha Mihata Zadnikarja že poznate odprej. Skupina je prav izdala svojo ploščo, reče pa o skupini Booklet, in se kar bova začeli, gre za glasbenike, ki se svojo skupno ustvarjanje so najdli na eni adresi v Berlinu. So guys, basically before coming together for this act, you have also lived in Amsterdam before coming in Berlin.
Yes.
Why have you relocated to Berlin? I mean, I know, for example, that even you were in the 90s, you were more or less living in Amsterdam. Yeah. Etc. So there is obviously some sort of a common ground, and all of you got. Why are you coming to Berlin now? Is it a sort of a mecca for improvised or new music? Are there any other particular reasons?
I don't live in Berlin.
So you don't. You don't live in Berlin, but the band is.
The band is best. But Steve and I live in Berlin. I moved from Amsterdam to Berlin mainly for personal reasons. I moved there with my wife, and But I mean, it is an exciting city to live in at the moment. There are very many musicians and all kinds of situations where you can play and meet people. It's great being there. But for myself, I still have a lot of contact with Amsterdam. I still go to Amsterdam a lot. But Amsterdam Berlin is a lot of fun, and it's lucky that Steve is there, so that we could renew our old friendship. And Joe comes to Berlin quite a lot, so it's mostly we meet in Berlin, actually. Yeah.
Okay. The music in the background now, as you're speaking, recalls a bit pastiches of South African music. Is it a nod to Available Jelly or something like that in one of the other Amsterdamer bands you were related with?
We have a little book of tunes we like playing out of our individual and communal history, which we've come across over the years. And I personally have played a lot of South African music with South African musicians, and so I've picked up some songs from those times, and they're in the book, which we like playing. But there's all kinds of different influences. It's just we are very undogmatic about what songs might appear. And lately, Joe has written a lot of new pieces and some playing them.
Okay, yes, exactly. In the second chapter, as you have organized the CD, it performs entirely of your compositions. Which compositions are there, and what is behind them? And,
I don't think it was necessarily planned that they were all going to be in one chapter, but it just turned out that way because it's from a live thing. But I don't know. I thought I can only write certain things, and it tends to be slightly different than the songs we're doing anyway. So it just kind of adds a new little thing between the improvisation and then, because we just play and then we go into songs however we like.
Okay, so you, in a certain way, you have documented the live concert, mm-hmm. and then reorganized it.
No. The recording is the concert as it was.
Uh-huh.
From the beginning to the end, it was.
No, I'm trying to get into this textual metaphor behind that, because you decided to call it booklet, uh-huh. because somebody who is an avid jazz fan and goes down clubs, etc. Might expect. Oh, are they playing medleys? You know, if you are playing medleys, but you are obviously not playing medleys.
Oh no, we are.
You are. Are you?
Yeah.
So it is a. Would you say it is a medley?
I don't know. It just works like this. We go on stage. We have no preconception of what's going to happen, but we have this booklet. That's the name of the band. It is actually falling to pieces now, but anyway, it originally was a booklet.
It is an object.
So an object in itself. Which we've like noted with a pencil pieces we like playing.
Like a set list.
Yeah. No, yeah, but the thing is, we start, and it is possible that as we play, in the moment, one of us decides, hey, let's try play this piece or that one, or maybe not. So it can happen that we play all the pieces in 5 minutes. It can happen that we play no pieces until it's a spontaneous decision every time, and it's as we listen back, that particular concert which became this record turned out to be that there were three
separate
kind of pieces. We decided to call them chapters afterwards, and it was a result of that concert. It's a documentation of a life.
Steve, excuse me to keep you silent for the introduction of this interview. So would you be kind to introduce us to the compositions and the composers that made its way through the CD? Which composers are you playing? From the press release, I remember it was Duke Ellington and Louis Armstrong. I noticed the name of Jimi Hendrix also.
Hendrix is in there.
Yeah.
Joe Malinga, right? Toby also.
Mm-hmm. Joe.
Joe.
Williamson.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Malinga is a South African saxophone player, right?
Exactly.
Who lives in Amsterdam.
No, he went back to South Africa a long time ago. I don't know where he is at the moment.
But he was in the 80s and 90s. He was living in the...
Yeah, that's where I
South Africa,
him.
Over Sean Burgin or whom? Did he come over...
No, he came by himself. Sean came through a different route. No, there was a South African community. Still is in Amsterdam.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, Joe was one of them, but...
Okay.
There's a Misha Mengelberg, someone there.
Yeah.
Okay, speaking of where did you got guys, which was the situation where you have met for the first time? Was it in the Exiles Festival in the 90s?
We met in Amsterdam.
Beam House or ICP?
Just from hanging out in Amsterdam.
It would have been about 1993 in Amsterdam when Steve and I had first come over.
And then we just meeting with other friends, other musicians.
But have you met over the session situation or attending some other people's concerts?
Our session.
Did you meet in stage or in front of the
audience? How exactly we met, I can't remember.
Okay, it's maybe not so important, but...
Mm. We did lots of playing back then.
And we would meet, and I think I met Toby at Tristan Hunsinger's place.
Yeah.
And Tristan would have get-togethers at his house with Joe, and I'd go around. We'd go around and play, and one day Toby just happened to be there, and so we, every day there'd be jam sessions or rehearsals or whatever you want to call them at different people's places and different groups, and then there was a tour that we first played together as a trio over 10 years ago, and Joe I think organised it and initiated it, and then we decided to go as a trio and play in Poland, so that was the first small tour.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, regards your playing on tenor, it is not uncommon that in almost every review you'll be associated to Ben Webster's playing. There is Duke Ellington in the booklet.
Yeah.
I mean, how would you recommend Duke Ellington's music, to today's listener? Which are the exquisite standards of Duke's music?
You named Webster, the time when Webster was in the band, that was, I think, 39 to 41 or something, those records. I mean, there's every one of them, I think, is wonderful. That's when the band sounded great. But also the very early stuff in the 20s. Ellington, I think, throughout his whole career, it's a very interesting music to listen to, especially with the compositions, the thematic material, and the way he orchestrates and uses the special voices in his orchestra. Webster was one of them for a while, but of course there were also many others. It's definitely... my personal playing is a huge influence, the music of Duke Ellington. But the nice thing about this band is, for me, is that it's also very possible that we'll play a concert without a single reference to Duke, and that's we don't have a program in that sense. It's these tunes really are just a collection of songs we like playing, and it's possible that we only play Joe Williamson songs tonight, but it's also possible we don't play a single piece of Joe's tonight. We don't know as we go on stage.
Of course.
And that's the nice thing about this band. It doesn't have a program in that sense, or of a particular theme for an evening or something.
Okay. In this program, you are also giving some renditions of Louis Armstrong music, who is also kind of considered old.
We don't actually have a piece of Louis Armstrong's in the repertoire, but he's a huge influence in the.
He's huge influence. I'm killing the promoter. You know, the press release says it mixes Louis Armstrong and Anthony Braxton, etc., etc.
Well, things get quoted and requoted. It's like, you know, the game Chinese Whispers. Things go into the air. I don't know, but anyway,
in a review, someone said that.
Yeah, exactly. Someone said it somewhere, and it got requoted and requoted. I don't know, but he's one of the many important voices for me personally. So of course.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Speaking about your early days, late in the 90s, you were also associated with many musicians that didn't necessarily come from jazz music. Mm. Like in Kletka Red, for example, that was one of the early attempts of hardcore punk with klezmer music, etc., etc. So could you explain to our listeners how does the jazz improviser end up playing music for different sort of people?
I think being a bass player gives you a chance to be in different, maybe all instruments, but I think especially bass, you can play in different kinds of bands and different kinds of music. Just within the case of Kletka Red, that had a lot to do with Tony Buck, the drummer, who was also living in Amsterdam at the time. And Kletka Red originally started with no bass player, and he preferred to have a bass player, so I joined.
Mm-hmm. I see you.
And that was also a reason why I ended up moving to Berlin after Amsterdam. Because of Leonid and Tony were in Berlin, and I had visited Berlin a few times, and then it just felt like.
You have also associated a lot with Eugene Chadbourne. You recorded with him on the Ailer and Dead.
Yeah, those. Yeah, I can't say we only actually did one gig with that band, and we made the record, and then we never played again, which I always thought was a shame, because I really liked the record.
Well, it usually happens like that.
It
happens like that from time to time.
Then I played again with Eugene a few years ago when he did this Appalachian folk music kind of.
Yeah, but in the Nickelsdorf.
In Nickelsdorf.
Not in France. You were playing in France.
Exactly.
I was there in a double trio with.
Yeah, that was. It was. I think the whole festival was built around Eugene. Then, and he invited us over. We'd done some stuff earlier in Holland.
Yeah,
together.
A double trio with him in front.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like a game piece. He had a composition where like one trio had a pile of his tunes, and the other trio had a different pile, and he would like. Alternate joining one tree and the other, and this, so the music would just overlap each other.
Steve, would you maybe introduce us to some of your new and regular projects? Your name is familiar to me from the Krokhelyden series of Marco Siciliani and Anne LaBerge back 10 years ago in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. You have also been working a lot with theater. Mm-hmm. Etc. What are some of your recent projects?
I have a band with two keyboard players, two organists, which is called Tub, and that's like a noise drone rock band.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing playing out a lot at the moment. I have a new project with a singer-songwriter two people from Melbourne, actually, from where I come from. With a cellist and guitar player, singer songwriter, and we're just mixing and recording a new album at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And Ned Collette and Anthea Keddy. And I'm playing basically a whole bunch of different noise music stuff, and I do a solo project called Stiff Leather where I play drums and computer noise stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And I do a pyrotechnic show with solo drums and a pyrotechnician where we let off lots of fireworks and I play drums really fast.
I see.
Highly recommended.
Oh yeah. And in a special suit.
It's like a naked suit, so it looks like he's naked, but he's wearing
suit.
A skin over a skin.
Skin over a skin.
I see. What are some of your new, your recent projects that you would like to emphasize?
Egg.
Oh, you got a band called The Egg, which is nine. Well, it, hopefully it'll become more. Everyone, three bass players, three guitar players, and three drummers, all playing as unrelated as possible to each other. Mm-hmm. That's a fun band. And I play with the Electrics now.
Oh, I see.
With Axel Darner and Sture Eriksson and Raymond Street. And Weird Weapons would be another band with Olaf Rupp and Tony Buck. Those are the things that have been going on lately, the last year or so.
Do get to play,
besides Booklet.
Do you get to play this music in Berlin, or do you have to travel elsewhere to play it?
Well, I live in Stockholm, so...
Oh, sorry.
So, it's... But I go to Berlin 5 times a year. So with Weird Weapons, we've actually only played in Berlin.
I see.
I think.
Nikolsdorf.
Oh, Nikolsdorf. We played once in Nikolsdorf.
So, okay. With the farewell to old Glenn Miller Jazz Cafe and Berlin all together, everybody, we are expecting you tonight at Gromka Cafe. Join us and don't be late with the Booklet. Torej, Joe Williamson na kontrabasu, Tobias Dilius, tenorski saksofon in klarinet in Steve Heder na bobnih. Booklet.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
See you tonight.
Yeah.
See you tonight.
Drop by.
And prepare.
Intervju Radija Študent.